Good evening. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church.
Good morning, Scott.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Evening.
Evening, afternoon. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters. We're going to hear the gospel truth. Our sermon text is taken from John, and it's going to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're going to do a three-point: God's love, God's gift, God our only Savior. The author of the book of John is John the Apostle, and I believe the Apostle John was in Jesus' inner circle, and it was one of the disciples that Jesus loved. We got a couple, the key word in this whole verse is believe. In this whole book is believe. And we went to a Bible dictionary and we got a couple. Believe, to remain steadfast, fixed, firm, loyal, to be persuaded, to adhere to rely on. And belief and faith go hand in hand. And we have a definition of saving faith is inward confidence in God, promised in provision in Christ for the salvation of sinners. Sanctifying faith, comprehended knowledge of and truth and our position in Christ. If we are Christians, we know where we stand in Christ. Serving faith, acts upon the truth of divinely bestowed spiritual gifts and maintains confidence in all the details of divine enablement and appointment for service. He will give us exactly what we need at all times. To get a full context of the verse, we have to continue reading in verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and they have been done in God. There's a lot going on there. For our first point, God's love. God's love is this Holy Bible, for starters. God's love. Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. And that was Isaiah's prophecy 740 years before Jesus' birth. And this is 740 years later, this is being fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Jesus came into the world as flesh, but he's been here from beginning forever. God was the Word, and God is the Word, and he was with God forever and ever, and he made all things, and all things were made through him. And we're sticking with God's love for the first point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, nothing short of grace. Good works, being a nice guy, will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. It is by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. John 16, verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. It all comes down to belief. The Jews did not believe that Jesus was God. And in the book of John, he performed many, many miracles. He healed a leper. That should have, their ears should have been perking up. Because who can heal but God? Jesus healed the leper. 1 John 4:9, and this is the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. God came into the world to save the lost sinners. John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Romans 5:8, and this really drives it home, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's absolutely amazing how this book works, how God works. His ways are not our ways, and nor can we understand them, but I do know this, that I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that he took my sins, and without him, I am nothing. It's absolutely amazing. God's gift, salvation. This is point two, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If we ask anything in Christ's name without wavering, he will give us, no matter what we ask. If it be his will and we don't ask amiss, he will provide. He will give us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. And this is a reinforcement here. Ephesians 2, 8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, as anyone should boast. If you are a blood-bought believer, you are entering heaven because of your belief on Christ. You're not going to heaven by money, by being a nice person. All your works are filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. It says it right in the book. It's all in the book. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's absolutely amazing how God's plan from the beginning was to be what it is, and we have the whole Bible to go by today. If we were living in the Old Testament, we would be looking at Old Testament stuff and trying to figure this stuff out. Now, it's like watching a movie. We know the ending. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord forever. Why? Because we believe upon him. It's absolutely amazing. His gift is indescribable. I remember the first time reading that, and I really didn't get it. But it's unbelievable, you know. And he's sitting on the throne today, interceding for us. God's gift also, the Holy Spirit indwelling in believers. John 16, verse 16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And that's the comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. He promised us that he would not leave us orphans, and it would teach us in all things. So not only do we have God the Father, we have God the Son interceding for us in heaven, we have the holy angels, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit indwelling in us, teaching us. We know right from wrong. We know because we keep reading the book and we get it. Spiritual satisfaction of our deepest needs. And I took this out of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. And it has nothing to do with monetary treasures. It has everything to do with spiritual, being right with God, reading your Bible, praying, getting all the basic food that you need to sustain and grow as a Christian. Money in itself is not a bad thing, but we're seeking treasures that can't be stolen, lost, or get rusted. We have treasures that are laid up, that are going to be laid up in heaven. And as a Christian, we have to continuously keep growing because we do not want to lose what we have. The Bible says that you can lose your gifts. Matthew chapter 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if a Christian just keeps thirsting for righteousness, wanting to please his God, he'll be filled. This is an absolute amazing gift to be able to be a mouthpiece for God. The wretched sinners that we are, every person that's in a church is a sinner. The difference is God shed his blood for us. We believe upon him, his blood, his precious blood. It's absolutely amazing. It's been that from the beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned and God killed a beast and he clothed them with the skin. It was always blood. God's blood has cleansed us. The third point, our God and only Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They knew that they had a special gift. They knew, and where are we going to go? Where are we going to go if we don't come here? Where are we going to go? We get fed every week. I come to church to get fed, and I keep hearing, just don't take what I say. Go by what is in the bulletin, too. I'm reading scriptures, but just don't take my word for it. You know, see, find out for yourself if it's true. And we have to be very diligent in that. We do know that Jesus has the word of eternal life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Either God was telling the truth or he was crazy. I believe that he was telling the truth. He is the way. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. That's what I know. I was definitely a little nervous when I woke up this morning. I went to my office and I just prayed and it all melted away. This is tough times, and I got asked to step up, and this is what I need to do. And I don't have, and the verse goes on, I don't have persuasive words. I'm not trying to be all wordy, you know. It's the power of God. I'm a mouthpiece to tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. The basic thing that we have to believe as Christians, according to 1 Corinthians 15:4, is that Jesus died, buried, and he's rose. He's risen. We do not have a dead Christ. We have a living Christ who is interceding for us, every one of us. We're very so blessed. Very, very blessed. Salvation available through Christ only. Romans 5:9, much more than that, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. People want the love God. He's the fluffy bunny God. You know, he's never mad. He's never angry. But the people that say that have never read the Holy Bible, and they're going to be in for a rude awakening. He's a just God. Not only is he love, but he's just, and he cannot wink at sin ever. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to satisfy God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. While we're alive on this earth, if you're a professing Christian, you should be living for him. You should be walking worthy as repentant sinners. And yes, we all fall short of God's glory. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall. It's how well, when we rise, what we do with it. And the good news is, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, absent with the body, present with the Lord. So that's a win-win, because one day we will be with our Lord forever. What we're going to be doing, I know we'll be praising him, we'll be worshiping him, we'll be glorifying him. It's all good. Hebrews 5:9, and have been perfected, he has become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Once he ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father, the canon of Scripture is closed in Revelations. We have everything we need to know about how to obtain salvation. It's by believing upon Jesus Christ. That is it. That is it. For somebody that believes that there is not a hell, and believe that they're going to get to heaven on their own good works, we have something also. Revelations chapter 20, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. By believing upon Jesus Christ, when he does his roll call, your name will be, if you believe upon Jesus Christ, your name will be in the book of life. And if not, you will spend eternity separated from God. And God does not want that. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God has brought salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldliness lust, that we should live soberly, rightly, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our hope while we're on this earth, is to one day be with our Maker. But until that day, we can keep our feet on the ground, but keep our heads in the cloud. We have to keep doing His will, His work. We have to keep preaching the Word of God, no matter how comfortable it is sometimes, no matter... Jesus didn't argue with the devil. He quoted Scripture. We're never to argue, we're to tell people the gospel truth and have them take a peek at it and see if they believe it or not, because it all comes down to belief. So at this time, we just need to continue as Christians to put our trust, our hope, our faith in God and God alone. This is tough times. There's no denying that. God will get us through it. He is still on His throne. He has not left His throne. And one day when He says enough is enough, He's going to wrap it all up and then we're going to be going home. So this is a good stuff. We're going to stop here. I'll do a prayer and then we're going to go into communion. Holy Heavenly Father, thank You for letting us come into Your building, Lord. Thank You for the words that You've let me speak, the book that You've given us. Let us walk as worthy repentant sinners, Lord God. Let us just be mindful of people's needs, be able to comfort with the gesture, a word, a wave, whatever it may be, Lord. Thank You for the ability to be able to come into a church and preach Your word, Your truth. May we not grieve the Spirit, Lord. And when we do, Lord, let us just come to You and just confess our faults, because we are sinners in need of a Savior, and You are it, Lord God. In all this, I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.